We ate a lot of delicious. Let me start that again.
Why did I agree with you? Try that again. No, you know what? Screw Ibis. Take Ibis off whenever you edit this.
These are the guys at the ramp with the giant Salt Life skits. Okay.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
A lot of stuff's new. What's up?
What's going on with you, man?
So I just got back from Savannah, Georgia, and haven't really spent a lot of time in Savannah, but that is a great city.
Did you eat any delicious food?
We ate a lot of delicious food. So we went to this one place that does personal-sized low country boil.
That's big time.
It was amazing. And so what we did was we like got regular low country boil and a crab legs, and then me and my girlfriend split it. So we each got some crab legs and we each got some low country boil.
Nice.
Perfectly seasoned. It was just excellent. But like the nightlife is great there. We went to
Did you go clubbing?
We didn't go clubbing. We went into a couple of bars. One was a country bar. The guy playing was great. He was amazing. And they played He played Seminole Wind, and I was like, yeah.
Did you get up there and set in on a set with him?
No, I probably should have, but, you know.
He probably didn't recognize you.
But, yeah, no, we had a great time. It was a great weekend. So, what's new with you, Trav?
Not a lot going on. Just finished up fishing. I'm done fishing for the year.
Yeah.
So, I won't pick up my fishing poles again until February.
Okay.
Ducks are upon us.
They are.
Duck, goose.
It is here.
I wish we had geese. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. I'm ready for the kids to be out of school.
Oh, I bet.
I need a little break from the daily commute.
I bet they're ready to.
Yeah, they are. Something else I got a note on. It's Veterans Day this week.
Okay.
So we wanted to say thank you to all of our veterans out there for your service, for serving for our freedom.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have the things we have today without you guys.
Yeah, so we really appreciate it, and hope you guys are listening in and enjoying the show with us today.
Absolutely.
I'm going to change lanes a little bit. It's something we haven't done before, but we're going to start a new segment when we get a Florida Sportsman magazine in.
Okay.
Do you read Florida Sportsman, Nate? I mean,
I don't regularly, but I'm very familiar with
it. If you see it laying in the living room of my house, you'll grab it and read it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to switch it up a little bit this week. We got a new segment we're going to add in.
Oh, great.
And we're going to call it What's Not.
What's Not. All right.
So I've got a copy of this month's Florida Sportsman. Came in the mail a couple weeks ago. And I've gone through it, and I've written down the titles of articles.
Okay.
All right? So I've got 9 titles here, and I'm going to let you pick the 2 that aren't real.
All righty.
Okay?
That'll be interesting. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Number 1, Best of Broward. From swordfish to bass, this metropolis has it all.
That's real.
Okay. Number 2, A Stormy Year. How Fishing Fares After Canes, a Retrospective Look.
Okay, Canes, a Retrospective Look? So they're like going back in time to these different hurricanes that hit and like...
Sure.
Okay. That sounds real.
That sounds real?
That sounds real.
Okay. Number 3, Reds in a Pinch. Looking for the ultimate drum bait, look no further than the crab family.
Ooh. I don't know. That seems a little specific for Florida sportsmen.
Okay.
I'm going to go fake on that.
You're going to go fake on number 3. Number 4, Ties That Bind. Our editors reveal their favorite knots.
Editors, Ties That Bind. I'm going to go real.
Were you real on that?
Okay.
Number 5 is Don't Leave Home Without Them. Pliers, braid snips, line cutters. The essential hand tools of the Florida offshore fisherman.
I'm going to go fake on that one.
You're going fake on that?
I'm going fake on that
one. Don't leave home without, because you don't think they'd write an article about pliers.
Yeah, I mean, they would.
Number 6, I got ramped up. Tips for putting a little more love in your love-hate relationship with boat rigs.
Oh, my gosh. That is a little too ridiculous to be fake, so I'm going to go real on that
okay.
one.
Okay, yep. You're right. That's a real one. Number 7, Midnight Methods. Graveyard shift tactics for taking fish on fly.
Graveyard shift. Fly fishing at night. Yes. It's an article about fly fishing at night.
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm going to go fake on that one.
All right.
And I'll read me the fake ones at the end, and I'll decide which one to take off.
Hunting the Rut. How to adjust your tactics through the 5 phases of whitetail breeding activity.
5 phases of whitetail breeding activity. I think I'm going to go real on that one.
That's real, and that is a one-page article.
One page?
And it discusses the five phases of...
How do they do that in one page?
They got it covered, brother. All right, speaking of brothers, number 9, Oh Brother, Where Arty Thou? Tips for targeting finicky inshore bites with the latest in artificial lures.
Now, okay. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
It's so good. That sounds, again, that's ridiculous enough to be real. I think that's a real one.
Okay. So right now you think the fake ones are Midnight Methods, Graveyard Shift Tactics for Taking Fish on Fly.
Okay.
Don't Leave Home Without Them, Pliers, Braid Snips, Line Cutters, The Essential Hand Tools of the Florida Offshore Fisherman.
Okay.
And Reds, In a Pinch, Looking for the Ultimate Drum Bait, Look No Further Than the Crab Family.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to say the redfish one is real.
Okay.
And the other two I said are fake.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. All totally wrong on all accounts. Wow. Holy cow. All right. So what were the fake ones?
The ones I planted were Ties That Bind, Our Editors Reveal Their Favorite Knots. Oh, man. Knots.
See, I just, that,
that'd be a good article.
That
right?
would be a good one.
And Oh Brother, Where Arty Thou? Tips for finicky fish.
Jeez.
We just wanted to talk about it a little bit because some of these articles, man, I love Florida Sportsman. I subscribe. I've subscribed for like 6 years.
I love it too. Obviously, because it's specific to Florida. And we live here and recreate here. So, but some of the articles are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd just like to see some challenges to some of the writers to step up their game a little bit and the editors step up their game a little bit. Give us some content.
Yeah, give us some real content.
Yeah.
So we had so much fun a couple weeks ago doing the Suburban Dictionary of Fishing.
Right.
That we thought we'd do one for hunting too. So this week we're going to talk about the Suburban Dictionary of Hunting Terms.
Yeah, I feel like this is really a phenomenon taking on the industry right now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like people are buzzing. The internet is a buzz with chatter about the Suburban Dictionary.
Yeah, all 12 of our listeners are all about it.
It's up to 15 or 16 now.
Is it that high?
It may even be more than that. Let's see. To start with, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to do it a little bit different than we did last week. We love waterfowl. We're big waterfowlers.
Yep.
I'm going to read you a waterfowl species, like the common name. And you're going to give us the Suburban Dictionary nicknames.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Mallards.
So, greenheads.
Yep.
Peats. I've never heard that one before. But around here, we call them park ducks or tame ducks.
Because if in Florida, you kill a greenhead mallard, he came from downtown Lakeland or downtown
Orlando. They eat bread from old ladies' hands at the park.
That's right. Maybe we should start pitching some bread out in front of the blind.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we get some more greenheads.
Have a bag of Merita sitting up on the front deck. Redheads.
So, gingers.
Yeah. Is that offensive to redheaded people, you
Probably.
Think? Probably. Do you care? Like, does it bother you?
I mean...
In your soul? Or you
I'm trying not to lose listeners here, but, okay. You know.
Well, any ginger listeners, we apologize.
Yes, we do.
We'll issue a statement later. Widgeon.
So, these are called bald pates, cotton tops, or mini pintails.
Yeah, I like mini pintails. That's cute.
I mean, yeah. They're pretty ducks, you know?
Pintails.
Sprigs. Get that bull sprig.
I didn't put it on our notes. I also saw someone calls them chocolate heads.
Chocolate heads.
Well, they do have kind of brown on the
chocolate colored head.
Caramel.
Yeah.
Wood ducks.
Square tails, squealers, bridal ducks.
Okay. Bridal ducks. I got a note on that. Bridal ducks were called that like pre-revolutionary.
Okay.
War. Pause much. They were called that pre-revolutionary war because they were so ornate and pretty.
Okay.
That they were like something you'd present to a bride on her wedding day. A bridal duck.
Interesting. That's an interesting fact.
Blue rockets.
Those are teal, specifically blue wing teal.
Right on.
Blue rockets.
All right, here's the king of nicknames.
Oh, yeah.
The shoveler.
Smileys, spoonies, boot lips, Hollywoods, pond inspectors, Scoop DeVille.
Scoop DeVille might Scoop be my DeVille. Favorite that nickname that's ever been uttered on this
that
show.
That one's so good.
Ringnecks.
Blackjacks.
I got a note on that, too. Was Daffy Duck a ringneck?
I don't know what kind of duck he was.
Like, we shoot a lot of ringnecks in Florida. It's kind of like the Florida duck, but...
But he didn't have any white. He was just all black.
But he's got a ring around his neck. And he's clearly not a mallard.
I don't know.
I'm claiming Daffy Duck for the ringneck. Can we do that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right, how about buffleheads?
Butterballs and water rabbits? I hadn't heard either one of those before.
Those are both awesome nicknames.
They are great.
Really quick little ducks.
Yes.
Mergansers.
Hairy heads, sawbills, hoodies... Or lawn darts. That's a
lawn darts is a popular
yeah because of their bill. That's what they look like.
Enough Italian dressing. Even they taste good though. geese. We don't get a lot of geese in Florida. But
we don't get really
some people
any geese.
Suggesting nicknames for them.
Yeah, so honkers, sky carp. I heard
it's
geese are
good
to eat.
It's a family show, Nate. Keep it clean, buddy.
Honk. It would be pretty clean if you wouldn't make comments like that.
Sky carp is good, right?
I mean, what is that insinuating, that they're bad to eat?
I don't really know. I'll be honest with you. My geese experience is limited.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, I've killed some geese, but I'm not a goose.
Right.
A goose fowler.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a sentence, what I just said. We also have downwind rats for geese.
I haven't never heard that one.
Yeah.
I guess it's because they're so over, like snow geese especially, are so overpopulated.
I think it was talking about snow geese particularly.
Yeah.
All right, and then to round out the waterfowl section, we've got hen mallards.
A lot of people call them Susies.
Yeah, a lot of people call all hen ducks
All Susies. Hen ducks Susies, yeah.
So those are our duck names. Now we're moving into the regular terms for the Suburban Dictionary of Hunting.
Okay, all right. So the first one we got here is locked up. So ducks that have seen your decoys and they are locked up, coming in hot.
That's the most exciting thing in the world,
oh,
right?
Man. Yes.
Can I say that's the most fun you can have with your clothes on?
I mean, if you want to. I don't want to really. Never mind.
I'm saying that. Like, they look like little B-52s coming in all of a sudden. Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
see them in the distance.
Cupped and wings, feet down. Ready to hit the water.
Especially divers. Like, I love wood ducks. I love mottleds. I love teal. But when you see a bunch of divers across the bay and they spot your spread and they turn.
Oh, man.
It's like you have 10 minutes for them to come to your decoys and you're watching the whole time. And it's like.
But it's the most fun 10 minutes. Oh, exciting 10 minutes.
All right. So now smoke pole.
So, yeah, that's your gun.
Right. Or fire stick.
Fire stick? Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard. I don't like fire stick as much as smoke pole, I don't think.
You think we could boost our subscriptions if we titled this episode Smoke Pole, the podcast?
Oh, my God. I think we might get a different demographic.
A different demographic than what we target typically. Yep. Bling or jewelry? Those are bands on a duck or a dove.
That's the pinnacle of duck hunting.
That's the holy grail, right?
It is. You got that bling on their leg.
And did we talk about this on the trophies episode? I think it was Bucket List Trophies was episode 7.
Okay.
Killing a banded duck is a big time trophy.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we did mention that one, but that's a good one.
I've gotten a couple in my life, but I mean, they're like lightning striking, right? I've seen guys go on hunts up north and kill 10. I've seen guys hunt all their lives and not kill any.
Never killed one.
We're going to try to fix that for you this season.
Hope so. Looky Lou.
Okay.
Guy driving around looking after the hunt.
Okay. I'll admit, I've been a Looky Lou before.
Yeah. So what's the sentence? We use that in the sentence.
I was a Looky Lou after the hunt.
Turtling.
Okay, go.
When you fall into the marsh, but nothing but your head is sticking out of the water.
Okay.
So we told Charlie to hop out, and danged if he didn't jump in a gator hole and start turtling.
I've actually turtled the last 3 seasons in the same hole every year.
You haven't learned your lesson yet.
No.
No.
It's the same hole, and it's always too deep.
So that was submitted by Austin Melissa Smith on Facebook.
Weekend Warriors. Guys that only hunt and fish on the weekends.
A lot of times I can only hunt and fish on weekends.
Yeah, so there's kind of 2 schools of thought on
that.
Yeah,
so I think weekend warriors could be guys who don't do their homework or don't put in the work that some other guys do.
To call back to episode 8, they're the Googans of the hunting community.
Sure, yeah.
They show up on the weekends to hunt and fish. So Hunter Dowdy submitted that for us, and he's absolutely not a weekend warrior.
No.
He's an outdoorsman for sure. So I think that's your distinction. Bill Dance. You know what this is?
So isn't this a guy that fishes while you're duck hunting?
Yeah, we see this a lot. Central Florida, there's a lot of lakes that correspond duck hunting and they intersect duck hunting and bass fishing.
Yeah.
And so it's not uncommon to have some kerfuffles, if you will, between the fishermen and the duck hunters.
Yeah, that is true.
I've actually seen some of them. Have you seen them wear the jumpsuits? They'll wear like a bright orange or a bright white jumpsuit to make
smart
sure.
On their part.
This is completely unrelated. But did you know that Bill Dance has apps for your phone? We love us some Bill Dance on this show.
Oh, yeah,
we?
Absolutely.
Bill Dance retweeted us one time.
He did.
So he has apps for your phone. And one of the icons for one of the apps is a bass wearing a Tennessee football hat.
Oh.
How baller is that?
That's awesome.
The other app he has is a fishing log, and I'm not using it because I think that's how Bill Dance knows where everybody fishes. I think he's got like back end access to that server, and he's using it to like data mine like people's GPS fishing spots. Yeah.
And, yeah,
it's a conspiracy. He's probably been doing it for years.
Probably.
All right, it's your turn.
So water swatters.
You should be able to define this based off prior history and discussion. Absolutely. On this show.
This is shooting ducks on the water.
So to put that in a sentence, can I say Nathan is a water swatter?
That is true.
That wouldn't be out of line.
No.
You wouldn't even take offense. This is the problem.
Right. Facts are facts, right?
It's true.
So, I mean, I am a water swatter.
Okay.
Duck Dynasty boys. So they're notorious for purchasing fake beards, as they rarely grow one naturally.
Okay.
Recently got their braces off.
Okay.
Mom just started them on Proactive. Big fans of the Axe body spray.
Okay.
Use too much of it. Always hunt for some double action.
We haven't covered double action yet.
We haven't. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. That's a fantastic definition.
Absolutely.
Can I say this? I think maybe we should change this term to social media boys.
Oh, yes.
Because I feel like Duck Dynasty is getting a bad rap in the hunting community.
And I agree.
I think I would go hunting with the Duck Dynasty guys.
Absolutely.
They seem like good guys, and I feel like they're getting this negative connotation around them because they're making $1 million to duck hunt.
Right.
And be rednecks. And I would like to make $1 million to be a redneck.
That'd be great.
So I'm not hating on them. So I'm changing this to social media boys.
I'm with you on that. I agree. So social media boys.
Can we also add in, we can identify them by barrel stickers? Is that too soon?
Yeah, barrel stick, yes. Okay. No, I
that's a dead giveaway if they have a Mojo barrel sticker or something.
Yes, that says like meat stick on it.
All right, I'm not sure about this next one. Pleasure pirates.
Pleasure pirates.
Yes. I don't even know if we can say that on, this isn't the radio. Can we say that on a podcast? Pleasure pirates. Weekend and holiday boaters that cruise around drinking rum, blasting music, and basically ruining everyone's lives.
Right. So we see this a lot, saltwater fishing.
We do. We see it a lot, duck hunting.
Not a lot, but it does happen on occasion.
I will say, when we're talking to pirates, that if any of them are, they look like Keira Knightley, I'm okay with that.
I think it's just Keira Knightley.
Yeah, Keira Knightley.
No.
No?
No K, just Knightley.
At my house, she's Keira Knightley.
All right, English isn't your first language, I guess.
Let me say this. If the hunting is slow, could we hang out with the pleasure pirates?
I don't know. I'm not a big pleasure pirate. I'm there to hunt. Right. Even if it's slow, I'm trying to make something happen. Let's go find some ducks.
Or some bacon and eggs.
Well, I'd be okay with breakfast, but I don't think the pleasure pirate people have bacon and eggs on their boat.
They got a bunch of ultras. Actually, our next definition is bluebills.
Bluebills.
Now, the reason this isn't in the duck section of the show is it's not referring to the duck. It's referring to crappy beer. They call them bluebills, like Budweiser or PBR.
Natty Light.
That's a bluebill. Hand me a bluebill.
Interesting. I've never heard that before.
I hadn't either. I like it, though.
That's cool. A kazoo.
Okay.
This is any duck call other than a teal whistle.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to actually call on a duck with a kazoo?
No, but I feel like there's some people on the lakes we hunt that would be better off with a kazoo.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
They would cause us less grief.
Could you imagine rolling up on somebody that have like a kazoo in their mouth? I mean, just blowing it at the top of their lungs.
How much money would you pay me to get my lanyard and fill it up with those little kazoos from like a party store?
Oh, man.
And be at the boat ramp opening day?
I mean, I don't know if I'd pay you anything, but I'd love to see that.
You want
to
video that?
Yeah, we can video that.
Also, Jared Hurst, the guy that submitted this. Jared Hurst, why is it any duck call other than a teal whistle?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's kind of an arbitrary distinction, right?
So you got the teal call, like the hand teal call.
We use wood duck calls.
I wouldn't call a wood duck call a kazoo.
No.
Because it doesn't really sound like a kazoo. And there are some guys that can make any duck call sound like a kazoo.
That's true. Turn it around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Blow on the other end.
Salt lifers. These are the guys at the ramp with a giant Salt Life sticker on their trucks.
Would it be out of line for me to say that Salt Life is the tramp stamp of the bumper sticker world?
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Like, does it take us to a dark timeline if I say
know.
That?
Maybe.
Bro, you live in Nashville. Tell me about how Salt Life you are.
Right.
on your Nissan Altima.
Yeah.
I see your pirate flag. I know how you roll.
Yeah.
3 weeks at Destin.
No, you're right. You're right.
Ned Flanders.
Ned Flanders.
This is the guy standing up watching everyone through binoculars, sticking out like a sore thumb.
Okay.
I've seen this guy. It's a reference to The Simpsons. I'm not a Simpsons guy.
Yeah,
so.
Me neither. But I can, like just that name conjures up images of a dude just standing there looking through binoculars or something.
So I got two.
Okay.
A game hog is your buddy that shoots every bird that comes in.
Or at least he claims.
Well, the next one I've got is the claimer.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
The claimer's the guy that claims every bird he shoots. Do you have
I have been
to
known
say?
To be both of those.
Listen,
in
Nate,
the past.
Let me speak some words of truth and wisdom to you. It ain't claiming if it's the truth. Like, if you shoot it and knock it down, I know you shot it and knock it down. You're not being a claimer.
That's true.
Like, I saw you make some shots in the early season where ducks just died, man. You pulled the trigger and ducks fell.
You know, that's usually what happens when I pull the trigger.
Exactly. That's what I expect. That's what I know. So, RC, Captain RC Gilliland out of Sarasota gave us claimer and game hog.
Lawnmowers.
Surface drives.
Surface drive motors.
I got a lawnmower, and it is a lawnmower.
It really is. Turn sideways. It really, yeah, because it's a lawnmower engine. And it really rips up the grass,
the
and
vegetation.
Weeds. I mean, it'll tear through about anything.
Thanks to Cody Thompson for that one. Swamp demon.
Swamp demon.
This is the early morning rumbling in your stomach.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Here's our other definition. Once the swamp demons start making noise, you become fast friends with the guy who brings too many snacks in the blind, or you may begin to experience the other definition of turtling. Which is not covered in our podcast, but use your imagination. Yeah.
This one's double action.
Right on.
Which we alluded to earlier in the podcast. So this is asking a woman out on the first date and then take her duck hunting instead. So instead of like a traditional dinner and a movie.
Right.
Like most people. You ask her out and the first thing you do is go duck hunting together.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, I'm okay with it.
That's called marrying material, if you ask me.
And this is only applicable to females you meet at a Polk County Walmart.
Okay. Like in the sporting goods section, wearing their Mossy Oak and their Daisy Dukes.
Camo Dale Jr. hat.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
She's straight fire.
Straight fire.
Is that what we'd say?
Yeah. I think that's what the kids are calling it.
Okay. Do you just walk up to her, make the approach, and say, hey, are you down for some double action, babe?
She'd probably look at you and not know what the heck that means.
Say yes.
Probably say yes. And then once she figures out what it means, she'd be really excited about it.
Because of the duck hunting.
Absolutely.
I'm off my dating game. So, like, happily married. I don't have to make that approach anymore. But to our single listeners, that may be a good move.
Try it out.
Yeah.
So, double action was submitted to us by Travis Woodkey. I probably got that way wrong. Sorry.
But, yeah, Travis, that's excellent. Your name is excellent, and your term is excellent.
Yes.
I just wanted to drop that in.
The X.
It's our last one.
It's our last one.
X makes sense. It would come at the end. That's the only one we did in alphabetical order.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been smart, wouldn't it? This is a dictionary episode anyway. So this is like a mythological place that hunters only hear whispers and storied, long told stories about. This is like the spot.
This is where the ducks are going to be.
This is where the ducks land every day of the season.
But it doesn't truly exist.
No, never does. So all these people that claim they have found the spot, they're always like, hey, man, you should have been here yesterday. Well, I wasn't there yesterday, so I have no...
Or we should be on the X tomorrow.
Right. Right. It's and always... then you're on the X tomorrow, where they said was the X, and you don't,
but
you don't
not
cut
so
a
much.
Feather. Yeah, nothing. So if we missed anything, missed any terms that you think of, we're on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at CastAndBlastFL. Also, let us know if double action's ever worked for you.
Yeah.
If you've ever asked a girl out on a date, taken her duck hunting, and, you know, love.
Fallen in love, gotten married, and had children.
That's right.
We want to know.
We want to know your story.
Maybe it'll make it into our Valentine's Day episode.
There you go. Yes.
Tales of double action.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Okay, so my release this week is Florida State football.
That's a good release.
I am a Florida State fan. My brother is a student there. My sister went there for a period of time. It is embarrassing to be a Florida State Seminole fan this year in football. Like, game one, we played Alabama pretty good in the first half, and then we lost for quarterback Francois. And ever since then, it's just been like a train wreck that you can't look away from. Coaching staff has not been great. Our defensive coordinator, I think we should get rid of him. But anyway, I'm releasing Florida State football this
year. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And here's what I understand. They lost their quarterback, and that's bad because he was awesome. Right. How could they be this bad on all facets of the ball?
That's
all
what
of
we're
a sudden?
All asking ourselves, Travis. That's what the whole entire fan base,
FSU Nation,
is asking ourselves. How does one person derail the entire program?
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
So my release is the Publix Deli.
Whoa, Publix.
Yeah, and I love the Publix Deli. Like, I like the chicken wings. That's kind of a go-to thing for me. I like the sub with, like, some honey butter on it.
Oh, man.
Pressed. You're with me on this, right?
Absolutely.
I don't understand how they don't realize that it's lunchtime. It's like that's a foreign concept to them that people are going to show up at 11:30 to buy like a sub or some chicken wings.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's 20 people in line. You're like, where did all these people come from?
So I just don't understand, like at a company that size and a company that we love.
A well-run company.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, Mr. George Jenkins took groceries out to her car in Winter Haven at the first store. Like, we're Publix people.
Wow.
I have family that works at Publix. I just need them to fix the deli. I want the deli to work, and I need the deli to work, and it's not good.
I mean, the deli is one of the best parts of a Publix, and it should be well run. But from the stories you've told me, it is not well run.
And the crazy thing is, every time I rant about this on Facebook, like, everybody chimes in on how bad the deli is, and they're from all over the place. People from Sarasota, people from Bradenton, people from Kansas City, people from Orlando.
Organization-wide.
There's a deli issue. Problem. They have a deli issue. Can we call this Deligate?
Deligate 2017.
Yeah. Not to be confused with a delegate.
Right.
My keep this week is a company called Mang, M-A-N-G, like mangrove.
Okay.
And their Mang Gear is their website.
Mang Gear.
Yep, and it's a local company owned out of, I think they're out of Fort Myers, and they make moisture wicking shirts and stuff. And by the way, you know, we talked about Schmediums a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
they make up to like a 4 or 5X. I mean, they make stuff that would fit me.
Good. So
sure.
If they run small, you can just get the next size.
Exactly. But here's their concept: for every article of clothing they sell, they plant a mangrove tree.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like a way they can give back, do some conservation in the environment. So I just think, we want to spread the word for companies like that. Like,
yeah,
we're on board with local guys doing the best they can. They're obviously conservation minded. So you guys check that out. Mang Gear. We'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Oh, I love that. My key this week is the Meat Eater TV show and podcast.
I'm a fan.
It's great. It's a guy named Steven Ranella. He's the host of both of those things. He has seasons 5 and 6 on Netflix. So you can go watch them, season 5 and 6. It is the best hunting show on television right now. It's real. It's not all about just the kill, because there's a lot of episodes where he doesn't actually end up killing anything. It's very in-depth, educational, and he ends every episode with like a recipe or how he fixes something or, you know, something cooking related.
And he understands the science behind it. And
yeah, absolutely. And it's really just in-depth. And the podcasts, they do a lot of podcasts from location.
Yep.
And they just recently had one about a bear attack in Alaska, which is a great, it's a 2-part episode. You have to go listen to it. It will make the hair on your neck stand up.
And it's
so great.
It's like a long podcast. It's like an hour and a half podcast.
Hour and a half, 2 hours mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you listen to ours first, but it's an excellent podcast. Like, I listen to it if I'm mowing the yard or whatever, I'll throw Ranella on, and like the time just flies by.
That's great.
He's who talked. We talked a couple weeks ago about governor's tags in our bucket list episode. We learned quite a bit about that from him.
He's
a really down to earth guy. Just conversational talking. It's an excellent show. So good call. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
I'm William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. First question, if you could live next to anybody as your neighbor, dead or alive, who would it be? Travis, you answer first.
I feel like there's one right answer to the neighbor question, and that's Wilson from Home Improvement.
Oh.
Like, that's the ultimate neighbor, right? Did I just win
Goat.
This? Did I just win
I
the 2-Minute Will?
Won the entire 2-Minute Will for all
like,
time.
It's over, right?
He is the ultimate neighbor.
He's always got good advice. Like, he's always got interesting food and stuff.
And you never see his face.
Go ahead, Nate. Rebut.
So mine is Teddy Roosevelt. So I'm going a little American history on us here. Love to sit down and just have a beer with him and talk about conservation, because he was one of the ultimate conservationists. He's the reason we still have gay mammals in America. I will
Did
say
you
it.
Say gay mammals?
I wish Teddy Roosevelt would come and use his big stick on you right now.
Next question. What is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition? Travis, you answer first.
My favorite Thanksgiving tradition isn't... We always get our Christmas tree either the day before or the day after Thanksgiving. And it's like a big deal. My family, we go to the local Sonny's barbecue. We'll eat at Sonny's. The only time of year we eat at Sonny's. But we'll get our, we'll go over there as a family. We'll pick out our Christmas tree. We'll argue over this one's too fat or skinny or whatever. We love that. It kind of kicks off the cold holiday season. And sometimes we do it right before Thanksgiving. Sometimes we do it the day after.
That's a good one. My favorite Thanksgiving tradition is eating a turkey dressing cranberry sauce sandwich.
In the woods.
In the woods. Like the week, the next, you know, the day after the next weekend. That's the best sandwich I have all year, and it only comes once a year, and that's what I look forward to the most. I love the day of Thanksgiving and the eating and stuff, but those sandwiches are life-changing.
You've just spoken truth into my heart.
Absolutely.
Your dad, like, is the OG of that leftover sandwich.
My grandmother's dressing recipe is perfect for sandwiches. Because it's stiff enough to where you can cut it into like a slice.
Right.
And to match the bread. It's amazing.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.